It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill, back in the house. Kirk Elliott hanging out with us here in RBN, the Racing Boys studio here in lovely Kansas City, Missouri. A lot to talk about today. We don't have a guest today, so I'm going to leave it up to the fans that are out there today, and I hope you don't let me down. I want the fans to call in, and I want you to voice your opinion on anything that we have to say today, all right? Just give us a call. We want to hear from you. Let's have the best day that we've ever had for open phone lines. 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. We want to hear from you today, folks. And, you know, there's going to be days like this. You know, sometimes it's not always easy to gather up guests each and every day. To be honest with you, doing a show every day, it's not as easy as it looks to line up guests. Austin, is that the truth? Are you backing me up on this one here, Austin, a little bit?
Yeah, I have to.
It's not easy, is it?
No, because especially when it's a racing show.
Right.
Especially right now, look, we have two different types of speed weeks going on, and let's say you want to try and get one of the winners all in speed week, but you know, your night's not over when the checkered flag falls. I mean, there's plenty of maintenance and whatnot to do. And as a driver, you either got to do it or you're getting ready for the next night. So, yeah, it's definitely not easy for trying to line up guests during, you know, racing season.
Well, you know what? One of the things that goes on, a lot of people don't understand about traveling up and down the road with the Lucas Oil, like with us, when we traveled with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour, is you don't get up early. You know what I mean? You work late because, especially right now during the summer months, you work late because it's cooler at night, right? You get all your maintenance done. You get everything done. You clean the car up. You get all the maintenance done. And then you go to bed. And then you don't get up till about 1 or 2 o'clock. That's pretty standard for the people that run up and down the road. Wouldn't you agree with that, Austin?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. It's like, you know, I don't run a whole lot of two-day shows, you know, with my car, so I usually just come home after the races. But I know this weekend when I went with Ayrton Jennington, I mean, we were up till, you know, 3:30 on early Saturday morning, you know, getting the car turned around from
the
night before.
What time did you get up the next day?
I think Chad and I got up around 10:30, 11.
Oh, well, that's pretty early.
Everybody else didn't get up until about, you know,
noon one.
So
right, yeah.
But yeah, especially when it's, you know, 105 degrees outside and a heat index of like 110, 112. So yeah, whenever it gets, you know, sun goes down, you know, and then it's nighttime and it's about, you know, 75, 80 degrees, it's prime working hours for sprint car drivers.
Yeah. No news on the motor, right? Nothing new.
Nothing new
than the block was hurt, right?
Yeah, it punched probably a 2x2.5 square hole on the backside of the number 4 cylinder. So I was hoping the block would be all right, but
unfortunately not.
It's a perfect square, so I don't know what went down there or how it blew up that way. But yeah, it's definitely hurt.
Yeah.
They usually say the first one, the first for anything, first flip, first blow up, or anything like that, first win is usually
massive.
Big, and
yeah.
And I can attest to that. First flip was big, and first blow up was big.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about flipping.
No,
we don't want to talk about that. But listen, just so anybody knows out there, that me personally, I am looking to rent a motor. We are trying to find a motor to rent. You've got this big race going on at Lakeside. Your sponsor is the title sponsor of that race, right?
Right.
At Lakeside. What is the date of that race?
August 2nd.
August 2nd.
It's a week from today.
1 week from today. We need to get a good ASCS 360 motor rented, and Austin needs to be at the race that his sponsor is the title sponsor of that race. We need to get him out there. So if anybody knows anybody that has a motor that might be for rent, contact Austin on his Facebook page, and we'll start the communication, and maybe, just maybe, we can find a motor for Austin to run that race next weekend. What day is that? Is that a
Tuesday? Tuesday. A week from today.
A week from today. You need to be there in the worst way, don't you, bud? You'd like to be there anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've made a commitment to our sponsor and ASCS that you know, that race would be sponsored by, you know, Marmon Keystone, and the Marmon Keystone car would be there. But yeah, it just, you know, it was out of our control on what happened, and it's just nothing, you know, that's in your control to do. So, right. I mean, we've looked around at some different options, but it's just,
they're slim.
Yeah, it's with the with the way engines are right now and the way people are with getting parts and turnaround times, it's just,
they don't want to lease them out, right?
It's just tough right now. Right. Not the best time. Now, if it was maybe 3, 4 years ago, this would probably be a different story right now.
Yeah,
but
because parts aren't so hard to get.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Did you watch that race last night with the USAC Sprints at Circle City Raceway?
I did.
Yeah, what'd you think of that race?
It was pretty good. You know, I caught the back end of hot laps, and the track looked like it was really good. It got faster, you know, as like the 4 or 5 hot lap sessions,
right,
you know, went out there, and I'm like, all right, we're going to see a good qualifying run. And, you know, it was crazy how fast the track just flipped on them. And, you know, the first handful of cars out, you know, were your fastest cars, and the track backed up really fast as, like, there was a 43 car field, you know, went out there and qualified. So, you know, with the track backing up that much, I didn't really know what it would do for the feature. And Circle City, from what I understand, they don't race a ton of races. I mean, they race, right, you know, a handful, you know, each
specials
month. But yeah, and the track surfaces, I feel like it just needs some time on it to make, right, it really good. And, you know, after seeing what happened and qualifying, I didn't really know what to expect for the rest of the night. And for the feature, I felt like it was pretty good. And, you know, the bottom, you know, the bottom was good for a long time. And, you know, it's crazy how yellows can really flop lines around, or how fast their track can change under yellow. And it switched, and it just caught Brady off guard.
Yeah. Mitchell Moles set a new track record last night, a 12 flat with a 5.
That was his third consecutive quick time during sprint week.
He's always fast, isn't he? He's just a good qualifier.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, you know, I remember watching Mitchell race the shootout probably, you know, a year or two ago, and
right,
and he was just this hot shoe out of California, and you know, he was just a micro guy, and he didn't know if he would get a chance with USAC or if he got a chance to go in any big sprint car racing, and you know, he finally got that chance, you know, I think at the end of maybe last year, maybe yeah, a couple races, and then, you know, more dominantly this year, and he's made the most of it. You know, he was able to take the opportunity with, you know, the AME team when Kevin Thomas stepped out of it. No, Tanner Thorsten stepped out of that car. Mm. Not Kevin Thomas. That's the snow car. But,
right,
yeah, when Thorsten stepped out, he was, you know, able to hop in there and really show what that car is capable of.
Yeah. So, Mr. Kung Fu, CJ Leary, picks up the win last night. And Brady Bacon, did you ever feel at any point during that race last night that Brady Bacon was going to lose that race? I never felt like that anybody really challenged him that much. Did you feel like Brady was going to lose that race last night when he got in the lead?
No, because, you know, Brady had the preferred position on the start of that deal. He was running second to Briggs Danner, and he was able to watch, you know, what Briggs was doing, and he knew where he needed to be, and it was the bottom, and it was good, and he got by him, and
right,
and then that yellow came out right as he got to the lead, and it put him back in a second, and I was like, all right, maybe, you know, Briggs will be smart enough to move down and take his line away, and he didn't. He committed back to the middle, to the top, and left the door wide open for Brady, and at that point, I just felt like Brady could, you know, be a smart, methodical racer like he is,
right,
and not leave it, and maybe watch some lap cars, but We talked about it yesterday. You know, you're leading. You don't really know what's going on behind you. And that yellow came out, and it opened the door for CJ, just the momentum, the top, and it worked. And the bottom, you know, we saw it get really slick right with the right rear lays. And, you know, maybe under yellow, you know, the marble stuff that got pushed up, you know, outside the groove down there got maybe packed in. And then Brady lost some of his grip. So,
yeah,
there's a couple things, you know, is what lost it. But, you know, really, I didn't think that Brady would, you know, lose it like the way he did.
Well, to me, I think Brady stayed with the bottom too long. Would you agree with that?
I mean, yeah, you can say that, but he was making it work down there for the longest part of the race. That yellow doesn't come out.
But the top blew off, and it started to come around up at the top a little bit, right?
Yeah, it's just the thing about Circle City that I noticed last night is the cushion's really good until it starts to kind of get, you know, ledgy. We saw it qualifying.
Right.
It was really good, and then, you know, it built a hard edge to it, and guys just got stuck in it.
Sorry, could you say that again? My apologies.
What is that? Was that your phone?
My Apple Watch thought I was talking to it.
Oh, that was funny right there.
No, but it just got really curvy, and, like, nobody could run it, and I was afraid that could happen in the feature, but for some reason it didn't. But, yeah, I mean, it just, under yellow, it just all got cleaned off a little bit, and it just opened up the top.
Right. I want to take a look at the national points right now and get an idea where we're at in the Amswell national points. Right now, Justin Grant is the point leader. He has got they don't split it up and tell you how far back, but it's very few points. 1428. Justin Grant has 1331 is what Brady Bacon has, and Robert Blue is currently tied for third with CJ Leary, his buddy that drop kicked him. Kung Fu. Anyway, so yeah, that I thought it was a pretty decent race last night. But do you think that KTJ had a chance there, because he was running up towards the front a little bit. At one time, he was running third, and then he got a flat, right? And that just took him out of the whole equation.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to just – that's just bad luck pretty much, I guess. But, yeah, you know, Kevin Thomas kind of came into that ride this for sprint week only. Really never sat in that car before, and that team's kind of struggled. From what I understand, they kind of struggled this year with a new driver and haven't had, you know, a ton of speed, and they wanted to bring Kevin in to try and turn the team around, and I feel like that's what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think he won the sprint week deal last year, so I mean, he definitely knows what he's doing and knows his way around this place, and he's ran the homing sprint cars for forever, so you never can count him out on that deal. It's hard to, you know, count out anybody that's running the top five at a USAC show, because they're all, you know,
so good.
The best five cars that night.
Right. That place was blowing a little dust last night too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just a combination of the clay that they got and the way they do their track prep.
You know, it was kind of critical. Some of the drivers were talking about how they thought with that black clay up there, it wasn't going to be as bad as it was. Did you feel that some of the drivers were kind of bagging on the racetrack a little bit last night?
Kind of. I mean,
maybe a little.
The track hasn't had the best past. You know, they've had issues with bringing in, you know, let's say that there was, I think, one time there was weather moving in, and they brought all the teams and they canceled it right as they all got there. And and then they've had issues with just track prep overall. It's a really new track. You know, like I said earlier, they don't have, you know, a ton of races, so you know, they're still trying to find their baseline on how they prep it and whatnot, and
right.
And also they might have some bad dirt too. So you know, drivers are going to complain about everything that they can't control, and that they feel
that's
like they can't control.
Right? Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's just we're all going to complain about it if we don't like it.
Right. Last night, the World of Outlaw Late Model Series raced at Boone Speedway. That was kind of weird watching them race up there at Boone, right? I've never been to Boone. Have you ever been up there before, Austin?
No.
No? I bet Kirk Elliott's been up there before. Anyway, Jonathan Davenport beats Dennis Erb and Mike Mahler last night. Mike Mahler got his 17th. Now, is this amazing? Out of all the races they ran, Mike Mahler has finished in the top five the last 17 races. Is that a huge accomplishment, or is it just me?
That's huge.
Huge!
That's just, to be that consistent and have no parts failures, no bad luck getting caught up in accidents or wrecks,
right,
or just...
Or blowing a motor or wrecking a car,
bad
whatever.
Bad luck in general. And I mean, there's a lot of things you can't control when you're racing every night, and end up be able to control it, and or have somewhat control of how your night's going to be, and finish in the top five for 17 straight nights against that competition is just really good, and it shows how good his program is right now. And you know, this is the style, or this is the type of season you want.
Consistency.
Yes, if you're running for points. You know, he's not doing that with any series. He's just out there running for money. But we see it with Brad Sweet right now with the Outlaws.
Right.
Super consistent, and he's leading the points. So,
and he's only got two wins.
Yeah, and you know, I bet you if Marler was racing with the Outlaws or Lucas Oil right now, and he had 17 consecutive top fives,
right,
he would be, you know, right there, you know, maybe leading the points, if not in the top 30.
Let me just tell you how consistent Brad Sweet is. He's only got two wins. The driver behind him, David Gravel, has four wins. The guy in third place, Sheldon Hodgshield, he's got eight wins. The guy in fourth, Carson Macedo, has got seven wins. And Brad Sweet's on top because he's got 36 top 10 out of 43 starts. That's pretty incredible, really, to be honest with you. Again, you have to average somewhere around fifth place for the year in order to win the championship with World of Outlaws.
Yeah, and that's what we're seeing right now with Sweet. You know, the past couple of years he's won the championship. He's won anywhere between, you know, 8 to 14 races, I believe, you know, in those years. And now look, we all just assumed it was because he won all the time. And now you look at it now where he's not winning and he's just consistent. And you know, he's not putting himself in a position where it's going to cost him. And you know, it's paying off for him.
Yeah. No doubt. All right. So with the World of Outlaw late models right now, Dennis Erb has got a 186-point lead. And I'm a little blown away by this, that Max Blair, the 111V car, is second in the World of Outlaw points. I didn't think that he was up there that far in the points, but now that I see it, it makes a little sense because he's always nibbling in the top five, the top 10, the 111V car, Max Blair. You see him there. He's from Centerville, PA. And he's pretty consistent, the 111V car. Have you watched him before?
You know, I've seen him at some special events, and he's always had speed, and he was just kind of one of those underdogs you knew about, but he never did anything big. And for him to step out, you know, and go run the Outlaw Tour was a big deal for his career, and I think it's really paying off. And to be second in points right now on your rookie run with it, that's not an easy gig.
No, it's not. So, anyway, last night, Davenport, is he the most dominant driver in late model racing right now, period?
I mean, he
has to be.
Have to say that. I mean, look, he just won $73,000 in
4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Sunday to, well, 2 days, back to back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just... I mean, then you add on the $1 million win at Eldora. So, you know, they usually post how much they've won in their earnings throughout the year. And I think the last time I saw it, it was like 1.3 million, and that was before this weekend. So, I'm not surprised to see him maybe finish the year with, you know, 1.5, 1.6, you know, million dollars in earnings if he keeps up his,
at the pace he's at right now, right? Yeah, yeah. Dennis Erb, again, he finished second last night, Dennis Erb Jr., and Mike Mahler, again, another top three finish. They finished on the podium last night. Early in that race, Tyler Bruning, he was leading that race, the red number 16 car. I hate to say this about Tyler, but every time I see him, he runs really good and he's really fast, but the problem is, he's not consistent enough for me to see him pull off the victory. When I see him in the lead, I don't think that Tyler Bruning's going to win. Do you?
Yeah, I can agree with the consistency part. I think, you know, he still makes, you know, a couple mistakes, but I was really surprised to see him, you know, run up there. Right. You know, he was at I-80 on the Wednesday night. They had the sprint cars there, and he was running with the SLMR series, and you know, it's they have good competition there, but it's nothing like the Outlaws or Lucas right. Oil. And he was a lower top 10 car, and you'd expect, you know, for the budget that he has and experience that he has, he would be contending for the win and or up in the top 3 or 5. And he really, I didn't feel like he was, you know, having a good showing at all. So, yeah, I was really one surprised to see him up there. But yeah, he just, you know, it's just, you know, still learning and making, you know, a couple mistakes along the way.
We should have played this post-race interview here, but that's okay. We don't need to do it. Bobby Pierce came from 10th to run 5th last night. But some of the guys that really rolled up through the field last night was Tanner English. He started 18th, and he ended up running 7th. And who was the other one that I saw come up through the field pretty far up through the field? Who was it? Oh, I can't find it right now. So, anyway, Shane Clanton, he started 13th. He ended up running 9th. That's not a great gain. Ryan Gustin, though, started 5th and went backwards, run 8th last night. And you would think that he'd be pretty good at that racetrack, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of around, you know, where he's from, but I've always known, you know, Boone to be an IMCA track.
Yeah.
And he's always been with USMTS and USRA, so I'm not sure that he has a ton of laps around that place.
Right.
I know he's been there a couple times, but, yeah, you'd expect him to kind of, you know, stay where he was at, but
right.
Everybody has an off night or a bad night, and, it's never always going forward with them.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about more what's going on in the motorsports world here in a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about Lee Spencer wrote a great column on Racing Boys. We'll talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about Joe Gibbs will not appeal NASCAR's decision to disqualify the 11 and the 18. And we'll talk about that and more when we come back. Phone lines are open, 816-833-8553, 816-833-8553. More of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway. Osage National Golf Resort.
Three 9-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Kirk Elliott's hanging out in the house with us. Want to remind everybody about the track tribute that's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. As we speak, it's going to be going on through October 1st. It's a great exhibit about one of the great racetracks in America. It's no longer there. It was such a great, great racetrack in Southern California, in Gardena, California. I used to go to it back in the late 70s and early 80s. It was such a fantastic racetrack. They've got a great track tribute going on right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. If you want to go up to Knoxville and watch some races, just take a little visit over there to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. They've got videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia. They've got cars that raced it at Ascot Park out in Gardena, California. It is such a great tribute, folks, to a racetrack that is no longer around. It is such just the Agajanians did a great job with that racetrack back in the day. Also, they still have the raffles going on for the 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. They will be drawing that on Saturday, August 13th during the Knoxville Nationals. Again, this car is only one of 1,000 cars built like this. This is a very collectible car, folks. And if you want to have a real street-legal race car, this 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette is the car for you. Let me tell you, I've seen one of these for sale, online for sale, for $150,000. One just sold to Barrett Jackson for $300,000. They're also going to give you $25,000 in cash to help you with the taxes on that as well. And if you can't get to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, what you need to do is buy a raffle ticket online at Corvette, the letter C, the number 8, the letter R, contest.com. That's Corvette, C8R, contest.com. And don't forget, they still have the drawing going on and the raffle going on for the 2022 Triple X chassis. It's a complete 410 sprint car, folks. And they're also going to give you $25,000 with that car as well to help you get through the taxes. They'll be drawing the winning ticket on Friday, December 16th. And again, if you can't make it in person up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. NationalSprintCarHallOfFame.com. And a little bit of a reminder, you know that the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week. That's right, folks. Every day of the week. The only time that they are closed is for Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, and New Year's Day. So go up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, buy a raffle ticket for the sprint car, buy a raffle ticket for the Corvette, and then go and check out the great track tribute to Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. And when you're up there, if you run into Bob Baker, make sure you tell him the Racing Boys sent you, would you? Would you do me a favor and do that for us? I wish we had that 410 motor right now, huh, Austin?
Me and along with a lot of other people, too.
Well,
yeah. Not the only ones.
You know, a lot of people, purchase those tickets. They travel around the country with that sprint car, and a lot of people buy it. All right. So you got any thoughts about, first of all, I want to mention Lee Spencer's article that she has. Let me pull this up here. I don't know if you know it, but Lee Spencer is a full-time writer for Racing Boys, and her articles are always on RacingBoys.com. She's got a great article up there right now. It's called Chase Elliott Was Victorious on Sunday, but were there really any winners at Pocono? What do you say to that question there, Austin? Was there any real winners? How would you feel if you ran third and then you ended up getting the win? I wouldn't feel good about it.
I think you might be the only one that would feel that way. I mean, as a racer, you want to win no matter what it is.
Right.
If you run dead last and everybody else was qualified and you won, you're going to be happy because you won. I mean, right. you get the winner's payout. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely out of NASCAR's our like normalcy to disqualify anybody. We haven't seen it in 60 years.
Right.
That's kind of, odd for them, but, it's about time that NASCAR is like every other sport. If you don't you pass post-race tech, you're disqualified. We see it in sprint car racing, late model race, doesn't matter what type of racing. It's
right.
You fail post-race tech, you're done. It's definitely, about time NASCAR is along with every other sport, in my opinion.
Right. There was David Ragan. He passed below the double yellow line and passed Tony Stewart for the win at Talladega. And that was in 2008, and they took the win away from him for that race. And then also, if you remember right, you're too young to remember this. Ricky Rudd, he spun out Davey Allison on the white flag lap at Sonoma, and he got black flagged, and the win was taken away from him as well. But the only other time that a win was taken away for a car being deemed illegal was in 1960, and I can't say that guy's last name. Can you say that? Emmanuel Zerkovitz? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not real good with names.
Yeah, I'll pass on saying it.
Because that's a tough one,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. So anyway, so the first time a car has been disqualified for being illegal since 1960, folks, that's the year that I was born. That's 62 years ago. Can you believe that?
That's crazy. Because you would think that, at some point through those years that they would do something like this. And I guess, they just, will find you points and earnings, and but you can keep the win.
You know, the one thing that NASCAR doesn't want to do, and we've heard this story many times over the years, NASCAR doesn't want to confuse the fans that were at the racetrack. That when the fans leave, they want the fans to know who the winner was.
Are we 10?
Huh?
Are fans 10 years old? Come on. I mean, I get that, but
I'm telling you, that's how they think.
No, I know, and that does not surprise me one bit about NASCAR, but it's like any other sport. I mean, if it's like, you know, baseball. If you're caught using, you know, an illegal substance, you're going to get, you know, ejected, right? And we're not just going to, you know, cover it up and let it be all right for this one race,
right,
or one game, right?
Right, right.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, my issue with NASCAR is they always try and, like, dumb it down for everybody. It doesn't need to be
like they're trying to insult our intelligence a little bit.
Well, I mean, I guess you could say it that way. But,
right,
you know, if I don't understand how football works, I'm going to figure out with social media,
how it works.
So it's the same thing with racing. If you don't understand how it works, do your research and figure it out.
Yeah.
Don't change how our sport is to make it easier to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, it's not that hard anyways.
Right, right. Just keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Right?
Yeah, it's just... We didn't see them doing this, you know, 60 years ago when the sport was being built.
Right, yeah, no doubt. I'm not surprised that Joe Gibbs didn't appeal that, right? The penalty was strong enough. They've taken the race away from him, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, and I think if, you know, with all the parts for the new next-gen cars being, you know, teams buying them from like NASCAR or dealer, whoever supplies
right
it to the teams, we can't have that being altered. We saw it happen with Keselowski at Daytona in the wheel hub. And then we saw it, you know, maybe a couple weeks after that. I can't remember who the driver was. But a body piece was tampered with,
mm-hmm,
and they got a penalty from it too. So it's good that NASCAR is being strict on this new car and not allowing anybody to you know, mess with, you know, the body or tamper with mm-hmm items that are supposed to be stamped and stock and same for everybody else.
Right, right. Let's talk a little more about some dirt late model action. Brandon Overton, this was this last weekend. He bagged his 10th win of the year down in Evans, Georgia. Picked up $10,053 with the 76 CrossFit Overton All-Star Concrete Longhore Chassis. Longhore chassis are the stuff right now, right? Every time anybody says anything about a car, it seems like Longhorn is the one that's on top right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that. Let me look up something here real quick. I'm pretty sure the top five at I-80 was all Longhorns.
Really?
Give me 1 second. I'll double check
all right
that.
Well, we'll have Austin take a look at that and make sure that the top five are Longhorn chassis. But it to me... You know, the other day, I think Lloyd said on one of his text messages, Kirk Elliott, let me just tell you, Kirk Elliott and Lloyd were texting back and forth, and they included me in on the chat, and those two were like Chatty Cathy. They just kept going on and on and on and talking and talking and talking. My phone kept blowing up, blowing up, blowing up, blowing up. Longhorn... The top five, Mark Richards, Rocket teams, have got to be scratching their heads now. Because Rocket was the stuff for such a long time, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were. And the only Rocket was sixth. And then a Pierce Platinum was seventh. You know, Ricky Thornton is on a Longhorn, I believe. So, yeah, I mean... Out of the top 10, I mean, I think, you know, six or seven of them are all Longhorn. So,
what do you think the difference is between them and the others?
I don't know.
I don't know. But I don't know enough about late models, right?
I believe years ago that Bobby Labonte's son, and maybe Bobby too, was involved with Longhorn. Longhorn's
really?
out of North Carolina. So, you know, I believe, you know, one advantage they have over like Rocket is being in North Carolina, so they're, you know, open to a lot of, like, you know, NASCAR technology. So
right,
you know, I believe that was the big thing for a while, and you know, I think the Labontes might be out of Longhorn now. I'll look into it, but but still those resources are still there and being able to be used and put to, you know, the development of their cars.
Right, right.
Where, you know, Rocket's out of Virginia. So they're really not close to where a lot of that technology is.
Right. This is a pretty big week for USMTS in the Heartland, right? They got a lot of stuff going on. They're going to race starting Friday night at Humboldt Speedway. You ever raced at Humboldt?
Yes, I raced a sprint car there in 2020.
Did you like it?
It was a lot of fun. It was weird because Humboldt, it's, you know, usually known for being slick and not really having a curb. And one and two was slick to a big curb, and three and four was heavy right around the bottom. But no, it was a lot of fun. I just wish we got to
go there more.
Yeah, go there more. I mean, last race they had there was that 2020 race. So yeah, I think they would have a better show. Not a better show. I think they would put on a pretty good show if they went there more often. We saw a really good race last year with the All-Stars there.
Right. So this is the 16th annual Summer Fling that's going to be taking place again. That's Friday, August. That's August 5th.
It's next Friday.
Next Friday. That's a week away, isn't it?
Yeah, because USMTS should be coming back to Kansas City to make up the Grant Youngins race. And they're right out at I-70, too.
Mm. And then on August 6th, they're going to be at Lucas Oil Speedway down in Wheatland, Missouri, for the 13th annual Slick Miss Show Me Shootout. You know, I love Lucas Oil Speedway. It's just one of my favorite racetracks in the country with all the amenities and everything that you have. And when they get their stuff together, that thing races pretty good, too.
Yeah, they have something really special down there. You know, they have the best of the best in track equipment and the best track team down there, I feel like, in this region. And, you know, it could downpour for 30 minutes before hot laps and flood everything out. And within a little bit of a track work delay,
right.
You know, maybe 30 minutes to an hour, it's turned back around, maybe a little longer than that, I don't know. But
right.
It's turned around in that time, and we're going to race that night. Most tracks around here would just have to cancel it and be done, but you know, that's one advantage to Lucas Oil. But also too, it's just the way the track is laid out. Yeah. No matter what's on it, sprint cars, modified, it's late models, I feel like it puts on some really good racing.
So they didn't put this in the press release. They did here down at the bottom, but on August 4th, they're at 81 Speedway in Park City, Kansas, for the 11th annual Keeper of the Plains Shootout. That's going to pay $10,000 to win. That race at Humboldt's going to pay $7,000 to win. And then on August 6th at Lucas Oil Speedway in Wheatland, Missouri, the 13th annual Slick Miss Show Me Shootout is going to pay $10,000 to win. Then they're going to go over to Dallas County Speedway in Urbana, and it's going to be the third. It's the Bullring Bash over there, and it's going to pay $5,000 to win. That's about as low as they get with the USMTS, isn't it? $5,000?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But then at Lakeside, on August 12th, the 6th annual Grant Youngins Memorial, that race is going to pay $20,002 to win. Why does everybody got to put a little number at the end of these things?
Grant's number was 2.
Oh, it was.
So in honor of Grant, it's always
going to
have 2s in it. And I believe that the feature 2.
That was John Anderson's number at one time, too.
Well, yes, because John
drove for his dad.
Yeah, drove for right. The Youngins Shop Quick team.
Mm-hmm. So, and then they go to I-70 Speedway for the inaugural Bushwhackers presented by Racing Dirt. That's a $10,000 rent win race at I-70 Speedway. So that is going to be a really good weekend of racing for USMTS here in the Kansas City area. Lakeside on August 12th, I-70 on August 13th. And then they come back to Lakeside on October 28th for the 8th annual Kansas City Sizzler, and that's going to pay $10,000 to win.
Yeah, they got some serious money going up.
Real
I'm getting
money.
Ready to add all this up to see how much.
Here's one race that pays less than $5,000. Deer Creek Speedway, Spring Valley, Minneapolis. 24th annual Featherlight Fall Jamboree only pays $3,000 to win. I didn't think they had races that paid that little.
I remember when we talked to Trenton a while ago with if they had like a 3-day show, mm-hmm. The first night would pay $3,000. And then, you know, as they went on through the the next two prelim night and then the final night, the pay would be bumped up to about their normal inning pay. They just had to cut the first day short to make up for the next 2 days paying really well.
Right, right. Well, and folks, if you want to watch those races, you can do so by going to racingdirt.com. Trenton and Stick, they do a great job with their broadcast over there. They do a really good job with it. That's Racing Dirt, no G in racing, RACINDIRT. Sound familiar? Racing Boys, Racing Dirt. Similar, but different. Anyway, but those guys will do a great job for you with their broadcast over there at the USMTS stuff. Where do we go next here? Let me see. What I got here? We got the Sizzling Summer Speed Week starts back up again tonight, doesn't it?
Yeah, they had two nights off.
I know. That was kind of weird, wasn't it? Start it off and then take a couple nights off?
Well, also, too, they had that first rain out at Tulsa. So they were supposed to have three straight nights
That's
of
true.
Racing. And then, you know, about two nights off and then start it back up tomorrow. But with the rain out on opening night of Speed Week, they made this or Tulsa's race up tonight. Then they'll race, you know, tonight on through the – let me get the – I think it's Saturdays when it ends. Yep, they'll run all the way into the 30th and end Speed Week. So we still got five nights of ASCS Speed Week racing ahead of us.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed nobody has called in today. I'm just really disappointed. Out of the people that are loyal listeners that don't call in, it just kind of frustrates me. Caleb wants to know what's the championship belt on the pool table. That championship belt... is almost 20 years old now. And that belt is the belt that Carl Edwards won driving my super truck at I-70 Speedway in 2003, the World Cup. He drove my truck out there. It was a 100-lap race. I won the race the year before in that same truck. And I held the track record. And then Carl come in and broke my track record with my truck. Do you remember that race? You probably don't remember it, do you? Do you know what happened on the very first lap of that race when Carl Edwards...
I was born in 2003. I'd have no idea.
You were born in 03.
No.
Well, anyway, a long story short is, on the first lap of that race, coming off of turn two, we started on the pole. Nate Bunnell started on the front row outside, who was my arch rival at the time. And Carl took out Nate on the first lap coming off of turn two. And it was about a 20-car pileup. It was a bad wreck. It took out a bunch of good trucks, man. And there was probably about 25 trucks there at this race. And Nate was not too happy about it, let me just say. He was kind of ticked off at me that I put Carl in my truck in the first place. So anyway... Carl started dead last, and there was about still 15 trucks out on the racetrack. And in five laps, Carl Edwards was back in the lead, and he lapped the entire field all the way up to third place. And just so you know, he burned a piston in my motor that night. He says, man, that thing started running a little funny. I was afraid the motor wasn't going to make it to the end, and I didn't think nothing of it. I thought we had a new carburetor on there, and we were just thinking that maybe it wasn't running right or something. And turns out when I took the motor apart, it had a burnt piston in it. He won that race on seven cylinders and lapped all the way up to third place. Carl was pretty good, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's just too bad he didn't get to pick up, you know, one or at least two cup championships
right
before his career was over.
All right.
I mean, he had plenty of the talent.
Well, yeah. And let me tell you, one time I let Clint Boyer drive my modified down at Moberly Speedway, and Clint was leading the race, and Carl did a big old pavement slide job on him getting down into turn three. And later did I find out that Carl Edwards said he was cheating. He had too big a carburetor on there. It's the only way he outrun us that day. That was a lot of fun. All right, let's take our final break here real quick, Austin, all right? We're going to take our final break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that to build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Where are my callers at? Why is nobody calling in? I just don't get it. Don't understand it. 816-833-8553. We got a couple minutes left in the show. Austin, did you know that they're going to have a country music star, Craig Morgan, do the performance pre-race concert at Kansas Speedway. Did you know that? You're not a country guy, are you?
Far from it.
Is country your least favorite kind of music?
Least favorite.
You know what? Me and you are on the same page, bud. There's nothing worse than listening to country music and people talking about their dog dying or their cat dying or breaking up with their girlfriend. It's depressing, isn't it? All right. That looks like that might be Marie checking in. Let's go to the phones. Marie, how you doing?
Hey.
Well, is this your first time calling in?
No. This is my second time.
Second time. How's things out in your neck of the woods?
Good. I'm recuperating from this week at the Grove.
Oh, did you bend a couple back at the Grove this weekend?
I didn't go Friday night, but I did go Saturday night. Yeah. So I got to see all the stuff on, about the fight and everything. I heard about it from my kids because two of my kids were there.
Right.
So, I was there for Saturday night and waited through a two-hour rain delay again.
Gosh, that was horrible, wasn't it?
Oh, I did that the last time they were in June.
Yeah.
It was Friday night. It was a delay, and then Saturday night was a delay, and we had the kids out, and the kids just didn't make it. That's so bad when you take the kids and they're not used to being there and having to have to wait a couple hours and keep them entertained. And
they get,
by the time everything starts, they're tired.
They get a little stir crazy, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So what'd you think of Saturday night?
I was disappointed because I really wanted Sheldon to win. I was all excited, but he definitely, fouled up in the fourth turn coming down the straightaway. So
right. You
knew as soon as he clipped the wall that he was in trouble.
Right. What did you think about the Double D and Freddie Raymer incident?
It was fun. The funny part about that was I didn't realize until I watched more of the taping, is watching David Gravel get in there.
I know it.
David Gravel must be the smallest guy that runs the Outlaws.
Right. And he ran down the pit road to get in the middle of it, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah, I wish I had a baby gift for him, and I didn't get to see him. My kids were staying at the hotel where the car was, and so I stopped, and they said they didn't know where David was. I said, well, would you mind if I give this to him and make sure he gets it, because I was afraid that I wouldn't see him, and I'm kind of glad now because I didn't drive. My son drove, so we had to leave right afterwards, and I wouldn't have been able to get to see him anyhow. But it was it's rough. I told him, what's going to happen. He's going to have the baby on October 7th.
Right.
He's picking 7th.
Right. So were you happy that Brad Sweet won, no?
I mean, I'm happy for him. He's not one of my favorites, but I was happy for him because it was kind of nice that it was a different winner for a change at the Grove.
Let me ask you, Marie, because you're such a great follower and listener to the show, and we want to thank you so much for being that person. Do you just pull for the PA guys out there? Is that what you do? Do you just pull for the PA guys and not the Outlaw guys?
No. I bought 3 T-shirts this weekend, and one was Sheldon, one was Joey Allen, was Allen, and the other one was, who heck was the other one? Oh, no, I did pick one. I did get one. I got Wolf's shirt. I've been wanting to get a shirt from him.
Right.
So there's certain ones I do like. And there's certain, there's not really anybody I don't like.
Right.
But when I have somebody that treats me and takes the time to get to know me and shows that interest as a fan,
right,
that's who I usually end up being really, really a good fan of.
Well, you're
so I got to talk to Alan last time, and Randy Wolf looked all through my autograph book because I watched his dad, and he was amazed at what I had in the autograph book because I had like Doug Wolfgang in it and stuff like guys he knew his dad always talked about. So he went through the whole, and he took like 45 minutes to talk to me and ask me about different things. And
right.
That's what I like is when somebody takes that time to really want to get to know you.
Well, just so you know, when
they're in, I usually wear an outlaw shirt. But
oh, you do?
It's usually Sheldon.
Oh, yeah.
But I do have David Gravel socks.
You've got David Gravel socks?
I have gravel socks. I wore Sheldon's shirt, and I had a baseball hat of Allen's on my head.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So it's called Spreading the Love.
Yeah. Well, just so you know, Marie, we're a big fan of yours.
Well, I'm really a fan of your show, and I had a big argument on Facebook for the last few hours.
What about?
Kenny Wallace is going to make his little statement about what he thought about this weekend.
Yeah.
And I went on and I said, this kind of made me decide what I'm going to do with my tickets, and I'm probably going to give them up for Pocono.
Really?
Because one thing, I always went June. I never went July race because of the outlaw race. It's always on the outlaw race
weekend.
So, and with them having that happen, I just thought it was very disgraceful that had to happen. And I didn't realize that Elliot didn't find out till he got home.
Right. He didn't have any idea that he was the winner. Do you have a problem with what they did?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people think it's not NASCAR's responsibility,
right,
to make sure that everything's right before they go on the track.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think that way. I think they're a professional group, and they have the opportunity if they have to unwrap them to make sure they're right and rewrap them again, and knowing that everybody's going to go out in that track and it's supposed to be the way it is, that's the way it should be.
Right.
Nobody agrees with me on that.
I think
it's not NASCAR's responsibility.
I think Kirk had a good idea. I think what they need to do, and I know there's some added expense to it, but they need to bring those cars to the racetrack unwrapped so they can inspect the body and see if there's any monkey business going on before they put the wrap on. What do you think?
Oh, I agree. There has to be a way to make this fair for the sponsorship,
mm-hmm,
and especially the fans. They work hard for the money to go to these tracks,
right?
And want to be able to go home and say, "Oh yeah, my driver won," and to get home and say, "Oh, they took it away from them."
Right.
And so I don't think it's fair to the teams. I don't think it's fair to the sponsorship. Not definitely not fair to the drivers, and especially not fair to the fans.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Everything that you said right there, Marie, 100%.
And, you know, somebody brought up about dirt racing. We're not talking about dirt racing. I know what, look, I've been going 40-some years.
Right.
My ex-husband raced. I have friends that race now. I know all the shenanigans are going to the dirt track. But we're not talking about dirt track. We're not talking about it's supposed to be a national group that puts this stuff on.
Right.
You got to give Outlaws, they put a pretty good, pretty good show. And when somebody's wrong, they nip it in the bud right away.
Right. I love.
Supposedly NASCAR made a big deal a few weeks ago and told them if this happens, blah blah blah. Well, if they're going to tell them something and they're still not going to straighten out, I don't know what. There has to be a way to do things right.
Right.
For everybody all involved, they're losing sponsorships. They better get their act together.
Yeah. Marie,
a lot of people are saying they're not going to go back.
We love your passion. And we hope that you call back in again because you are one of our favorites for sure. No doubt about it. And we always appreciate you. We love it when we see your name pop up there when you're watching the show. So thanks for doing
and
being such a loyal listener to the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. And thank you for letting me come on.
All right. Anytime, Marie. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
All right. Is this Carrie Manthe?
Shelby from MWRA.
Oh, Shelby. How you doing, Shelby?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing all right. How you doing? How's everything going with NWRA?
You know, it's going really well. We just had our big we had a race out at I-35 this past weekend. Everything went really great. We had a really good night of racing out there. Mike and Kyle and the track crew, and they gave us a good racing surface. So
yeah. Yeah. How many cars did you get up there?
18.
That's a good number. You guys always pull more than WAR does. Why is that?
You know, I don't really have an answer for that other than we just try and give these guys somewhere local to race, somewhere where they don't have to travel, you know, 3 and 4 hours to go race. We just want to get these guys somewhere that, you know, support the local racetracks and the open wheel sprints. And, you know, we're really having a good season so far, and I'm having a blast.
I've known you since you were a little kid, haven't I?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, back in the day. I'm trying to think what year your dad, I think he crew chief for me in 98.
Yeah, he sure did. I remember those times, too.
Yeah, those were good times back in the day, and you were hanging out with my kids a lot. Did you? You're not racing now, are you? Are you doing any racing yourself?
No, not myself. So me and Dad still own a car. It's actually probably going to be ready here in a week or two, and we're going to do some racing at Lakeside with Mike Richardson behind the wheel in the E-Mod class. So,
all right.
I stepped down because I had a back injury, and, you know, we still have some sponsors, and, you know, I do what I can for the local racing community, and if we can field a car somewhere, then we're going to do it.
We're visiting with Shelby Manthe. I've known her since she was a little kid. Did you ever dream in a million years that you'd be running a sprint car organization? Did you ever think that?
You know, no, I really didn't. But I'm glad that Raul Romero gave me the opportunity to do so. It has opened my eyes to a whole new, you know, level of racing and, you know, what goes into it. You know, I raced since I was 16. We started building my car. Well, I haven't raced since 16. I started building my first car at 16. We hit the track when I turned 18. I raced stock cars for eight, nine years, and then we bought a modified, and we started in the B-Mod class with that. And then, you know, I hurt my back, and I was visiting with Skip Richardson, and he said his son had the racing itch, and Mike used to race with my dad. And I mean, he's just a really good driver.
I raced with Mike many years in the Charger division, many years.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, anything to, like, you know, he said get Mike was interested, so I gave Mike a call, and sure enough, he was willing to give it a try on dirt, and he's done really well over the last couple years.
Yeah.
You know, progressing in the modified class, and especially being on dirt, it is a lot different from asphalt, and he hadn't raced in several years, so.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know if you know it, but Mike and Skip bought one of my race cars in 98. It was a car I raced in 95, 96, 97, and then in 98 I bought a modified, and that's when your dad started helping me, and I sold that car to Mike Richardson and his dad, Skip.
Yeah. Yeah, and they had much success with that car, too.
Yeah, that car was pretty good.
It was. It got us a lot of wins.
Yeah, you know, I was pretty fortunate to Goober built that car for me back in the day. And for some reason, that car really enjoyed running up towards the top of the racetrack. I don't know what it was about that car, but I'll never forget the day that Tony Sawyer came down and told the officials that the way I was running that line was dangerous and that I shouldn't be allowed to do it. I'll never forget that.
So, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. When's your next race there for MWRA?
Well, in just a short couple weeks, we're doing a 2-day swing. Actually, we have the legendary Weld Memorial race.
Oh, yeah.
Lakeside, Friday, yeah. August 5th.
Yeah.
We're going to have the purse is upped for this race. Lakeside has been generous enough to us to work with us, and we're going to pay $2,000 to win, $1,000 for second, and $250 to start. And we're actually having some sponsors come in, and they're gonna give some prizes to some of our drivers throughout the night. So you know, hope everybody comes out to Lakeside and supports our drivers and our class. And they got the Pure Stocks coming out and the Mod Lights as well. And right after Lakeside, Saturday, we head to Nevada Speedway for our rescheduled race. We had a rain out there, and we were able to get with Jerry Davis and reschedule that race. So we didn't, you know, we had three rainouts in the beginning of the season. So, you know, we want to give our racers enough races to justify a points championship, and that's what we're trying to do. And we do. We hear the tire concerns and everything like that, and,
right.
and we've opened our tire rule as far as we can at the moment. So, you know, we just hope everybody comes out to the Lakeside and Nevada and supports us and supports those local tracks.
Yeah. Well, whatever we can do to help you, you just let us know and just give us a call anytime that you need to get the word out, okay?
Okay, Scott. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. Okay. We'll talk to you later right. there, Shelby. Good job.
Right. Have a good one.
All right, bye. Bye-bye. All right. And there you have it. That's a wrap. Oh, hey, did I mention that ASCS, I'm on their text, and it says, we will not have a tire truck tonight. We will have one at remaining events this week. They'll have a tire truck, but not tonight at Tulsa Speedway. That's kind of a bummer, isn't it? If you're out of tires, you might need a tire.
I just hope Tulsa isn't typical Tulsa. That's all I'm going to say. I just hope it's not typical
rubber
Tulsa.
Up.
It's, yeah. I mean, it's a great track. I mean, I think it puts on some pretty decent racing. It's just, we saw races there last year and you know, some this year where it's so blown off. You're sitting there taking rubber and it's not the best thing right now.
It gets a little rugged once in a while, too. Did you see the first night they raced there?
I did.
That thing was about cowboy up as it gets, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean it's kind of what you expect for a track's
brand new track.
Night, but it's just hope it doesn't take rubber tonight.
Yeah. All right. Thanks everybody for tuning into the show. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, who's sitting here in the studio with us as well. I'm Scott Traylor, saying we'll see you tomorrow. Steve Post joins us tomorrow on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.